This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's Friday. You know what that means. U105 of the Best is back. This week's roundup of the top talk from our weekday shows features Pick Your Suggestions, Hairy Legs, Sustainability and Suspect Cocktails. Frank was on location this week at the All-Ireland Sustainability Summit, finding out all about a greener way of living. Ross Moffat from Everrun joined him to talk through what they do to help us live a more eco-friendly lifestyle.
And you're listening to U105. Good morning to you. Thursday morning. We're live from Le Mans Hotel here in Belfast. And it is indeed the All-Ireland Sustainability Summit that's happening. Well, people are mingling at this present moment and enjoying all the niceties, but they'll be going into a series of theatres that'll be presented to them here at Le Mans as the morning turns towards the afternoon. And none of it's possible, of course, without the principal sponsor. And Russ Moffat from Everrun is with me. Russ, tell me about Everrun, first of all.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here, Frank. Everrun, we're a new renewable energy management company based in Belfast. You know, our genesis was in the wind turbine sector, and we built multiple turbines across Ireland, and we've expanded that across all of Ireland and over across into Scotland, and we've diversified our portfolio from just the wind to other technologies like solar and electric EV charging points and smart motors and software to back that all up. So it's a really exciting time to be part of the industry. It's a really exciting time to be part of this event. So it made sense that the two went hand in hand.
Where are we now with the very large windmills or solar powered items that you're referring to there? They seem to spring up everywhere, but they're don't seem to be built as rapidly now. Am I right on that?
No, you're quite right. There's obviously some restrictions in terms of planning or grid capacity through Sony or NIE. So the whole industry is trying to work their way through that. And we do need a bit of help from people who can make that happen to allow the expansion of that, really. So the technology is there, the will, the want, and the funding is there to do it. It's just those other infrastructure challenges that we're having at the moment. Because if they were in place, you know, we'd be sitting in a really, really healthy position here.
So how are sites chosen for that? How do you go about suggesting, I would like turbines, those large white, as I call them, windmills, put on my mountainside? First of all, you've got to own land at a high ground, do you?
Yeah, look, there's lots of things that need to be considered, but we get inundated with applications from people who have farmlands and open areas, but there's much more to it. We have to look at, you know, the ecology surveys, the typography of the land, the wind speeds, wherever it's located. So there's a lot of pre-planning that goes into it. So what we'll do in the interest of that is we break it down into sort of three phases. And the first one is it feasible? You know, is it, and we conduct a feasibility study to see will it work, won't it work, how it will work, and then we'll take it through stages. So we're not out trying to tell something to somebody that's not going to happen, you know. So that is the challenge in itself as well.
Because then what percentage of those who would contact you would end up with the turbines on their land?
It's actually quite a small percentage, frankly. It's probably, I would say, less than 10%.
Because it is very beneficial, isn't it? It's a money spinner for landowner if you can get the turbines in situ.
Absolutely, absolutely. But as I said before, there's a few other challenges that we have to get through. So grid connection would be the main one, really. So the cost of that connection sometimes wipes out the revenues that the project may bring through. But if we can get it right, and we have got it right multiple times, it really, really works for everybody, you know. And in the bigger scale, forgetting about the money, it's the right thing to do, you know, providing the green energy to the country, so.
You mentioned the chargers, the EV chargers. Gosh, the number of conversations I've had on this programme about people not being able to find a charger.
Yeah.
Where are we with that at this present minute?
We are actually on the upward trend. There is challenges again. It's all back to the same infrastructure. So the same infrastructure that is pausing the development of solar and wind is also pulling back the availability of the rollout of the charging network. There's only so much capacity there, and everybody's vying for it. And it's about trying to find the spots where we can get them in that are going to be beneficial to the people. And look, are we behind the curve in terms of what maybe what's happening in the rest of the UK or down south?
Yeah.
But look, we're improving. And that's all we can do. Improve bit by bit, and we will get there.
Are you talking specifically about putting in public charging, or do you facilitate for private charging?
It's a blend. So we'll look at workplace charging and we'll look at public charging. So we'll either do that directly as Everrun, or we will partner. But that's how it will work. It will have to be a blended solution. So where people do have, you know, off-street parking, they will have to look at home charging, a bigger part. Workplace charging will have to be step up, and then the public network, which is what people automatically look for, and understandably so, because if they're taking journeys, that is increasing as year on year, and we can see it month on month. So yeah, it's getting there. Slowly though, slowly.
If every house in the street had an electric vehicle,
yes,
we couldn't cope, so we couldn't.
No, but there are ways around it. There are delayed starts. So for example, if there was 10 houses in a street, you could have it set that each house charge started at a different time, so it didn't create a surge. And there are multiple ways of doing that. So as more people become conscious about their own energy generation, people will have solar, they'll have batteries, they will be able to home charge off their own batteries domestically. That won't have an impact on the grid. So as technology increases and becomes more affordable, you'll start to find that the EV charging network or the home charging network will start to increase also.
Do you worry at all you could be leapfrogged by hydrogen?
No, because that's just another green solution. We're not being leapfrogged. If that is the case, we will find a way to work with hydrogen. You know, hydrogen is generated in multiple different ways. One of those ways is actually from wind turbines. So we welcome it. You know, it's just another solution, because unfortunately there's not one. There's no silver bullet to fix all of this. It has to be made up of multiple solutions. So well, we welcome hybrid, but I think we're a little bit away from that, at least 5 years.
Green technology, sustainability, all the other relevant terms that go with it. As a young businessman, and you're not just out of university, but you're certainly nowhere near retirement age.
You're
midstream.
Yeah.
Did you see an opening in the market at a relatively young age?
Our main shareholders and owners, they certainly did. So they started this back in 2010, and they seen the gap and realised there was a real opportunity to obviously create a business, but to do good. And they stepped through. They've brought me in to then try and accelerate those other technologies. So on the whole, I can see what's going to happen. It's just about how we introduce it.
And where are the frustrations in what you do? Because you get the impression at an event like this that everyone's pushing in the positive direction, but that isn't the reality. A lot of punters are frustrated, aren't they?
I think there has to be a standardisation of practices. You know, how one part of the industry conducts themselves doesn't necessarily link in with the other. I think there has to be a joined up approach. I was saying that I use time and time in Everrun. You're probably sick of hearing it. Collaboration is always better than competition. We have to collaborate, but we have to do it in a standardised way so that it's fair to the public, it's fair to the customer, but it also works for the business. Because business shouldn't be a dirty word, and profit shouldn't be a dirty word, as long as it is serving the purpose of the people. And I think that's what's missing there at the minute. There's a few lobbying groups, and you know, Renewable NI do a wonderful job at lobbying groups. But in terms of the people here today who are on the ground and doing, this is what this event should be. It's bringing these people together to understand what one another do and see how they can link in and work with one another.
Well, that's why you're sponsoring it. You want to pull them all together. Exactly. Ross, good meeting you. Thanks for dropping by our stand here.
Thank you, guys.
Carolyn was joined by our in-house pet person, Vicky the Vet, to answer listeners' questions about the health of their furry friends. If you have questions about your four-legged friends, be sure to drop the beast through a WhatsApp on 07766 105 105.
People here are still on holiday at the minute. I'm loving your pictures, and thanks for letting us know that the sun is shining where you are. We met by the pool, along with wee Sally and Gilbert and Shaz enjoying life, huh? Sounds good to me. Anybody else by the pool? The sunny Benidorm, let me say, it's Geraldine and Terry who are jumping in. Oh, to be there with you, eh? I wonder if Vicky the vet would love to be in the sun right now. You're hearing this and you're like, all right.
Absolutely, I'd give it a right arm to be out in the sunshine like that right now.
Our listeners love to let us know whenever they're in the sun. They're sitting on a balcony with a nice refreshment. It sounds perfect. Well, are you having a good day off? Or you're not off?
No, I'm in between. Like, I'm not in clinic today, but it's one of those weird days, isn't it? Where you kind of, some people are, some people aren't. So, it's lovely though. It's nice out there today.
It's a lovely day. And delighted you have a wee bit of time just to join us today, Vicky. And I know we're going to be talking about the touch cues with training our dogs. But before we do that, a couple of queries have come in. Now, I've showed you the picture there and that the lady had sent in about her dog, and it looks like it's got some sort of an allergy. This is Gail who sent it in. Can you ask Vicky what is on Lola's tummy?
Okay, so that looks like there's a slight irritation there on her tummy. So that can happen for a couple of reasons. So could be that you've changed, if you've kind of changed the washing equipment that you use. So sometimes if even our own changing washing powder can sometimes cause that little bit of irritation. Sure. So it depends really on the age of the dog as to when that's happened. Equally, if they've had a clip recently, sometimes it's a bit like, humans can get a little bit of a clipper rash. It doesn't look too inflamed. So I'd be kind of looking at getting a wash, like a soothing wash that you can get from your vet. So maybe give them a call and see if you can get like a chlorhexidine base, which is just going to help with restoring the good bacteria on the skin. And also just making sure you're up to date with a flea and tick treatment and all of those things to make sure that there's nothing else like that going on. If it's a sudden change, so if we've got a slightly middle-aged dog and we're starting to see skin issues coming up, then that's a good reason to just go and get a check over with the local vet team. Potentially bring a urine sample from the puppy as well, just so that they can screen for any sign of endocrine disease, because sometimes skin can be the first indication that we would see that something else might be going on in the body. So it depends on the kind of build up to that, but hopefully it's not too irritable, and like a good wash will hopefully restore that balance on the skin.
Okay, well, good luck with that, Gail. We're concerned about our 5-year-old black lab. We've just discovered a lump behind his ear. It's very hard and solid. Just wondering if we should be concerned. Hoping to see the vet tomorrow. It's Katrina sent that in.
Yeah, I think, lumps and bumps do arise on our pets quite regularly. And absolutely, they're doing the right thing by going to their primary vet care team to get that looked at. They might try and take a sample of it, depending on how whereabouts it is in the ear, because that can be a little bit tricky to kind of get a sample from, and it will depend on the size, but that's generally how we work out what it is. Equally, sometimes when we go to do that, it becomes like a cyst and it just pops, and then it just needs a little bit of cleaning anyway. So I wouldn't overly worry about it until you get that there. Also have a good feel across the pet in general to see if there are any other lumps and bumps that you can feel that have come up anywhere else. And if it is staying there, and we kind of sometimes we take the view of actually let's just monitor it, one of the best things I get my clients to do is actually measure the diameter of it, so that you've got a record of it. Mm-hmm. And if it starts to grow, then that's something that we can keep an eye on and see how rapidly it's growing. But if they are concerned, then they can talk to the vet team about potentially taking a little sample from that and seeing what it is.
Okay, so always best to be safe than sorry then, Katrina. What about John in Belfast? This sounds like a really simple question. Maybe it's not. When is the best time to get the dog's haircut? He's a Cocker Spaniel and starting to shed hair. I mean, is there a time whenever you have got to do this, or
not,
I don't know?
Not really. I mean, it depends on the coat. So quite often they will kind of shed their coat, and actually you don't always need to get them cut. You can actually just kind of brush that through, and that will help with that. It depends on the breed of dog in terms of how regularly you're needing to get it cut and how matted they get. Quite often, those longer coat dogs can get matted around their hind legs, their bottom and their tummy. And that's when you kind of want to get them used to having that trimmed. A couple of things I would say, if you are considering getting them cut, then try and work on desensitizing them to that process at home first. So they're getting used to being brushed and held, and different parts of their body being touched, and noises of things as well.
Sure. 'Cause
quite often that can be really scary. And the last thing you want is your dog going into the grooming salon being absolutely terrified. There are some really lovely kind of mobile pet groomers that come and just deal with your dog. If your dog's a bit worried about being around other dogs, all of those things can make those type of behaviours worse. If we're putting them in a situation where they're with lots of other dogs and they're nervous in that setting, then I would always say, from a behaviour perspective, try and avoid that if you can, and work with someone that's kind of coming to you. So there's no set time frame that you have to. It's not like not like me with my highlights at least. It's done every 8 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, but
just Yeah, whenever you think the dog needs its haircut, do you know?
Yeah, and work on what it means to do that at home first, so it's not scary.
I think that's a really interesting point that you made there, because a lot of people maybe don't take their animals to get to the groomers, and then just all of a sudden decide to do that, and the dog is not used to the equipment. The stranger is coming at them with an instrument of some description, and the noises of the hairdryers and things. Yeah. So that can be really upsetting for your dog if it's not used to it. So yeah. Are you suggesting put the hairdryer on at home, or brush the dog at home, or what are you saying?
Yeah, so you don't need to use the blow dryers and things like that either. A dog will dry. It's just a bit of an upset for us because they can be a bit of a wet dog. So you can get those really nice kind of microfibery type towels that will take a lot of the moisture out of that. It's more the handling and actually kind of helping them get used to being in those different positions. The nose touch that we're going to talk about and those kind of cooperative care behaviours are really good to train them at home with, for not just for grooming but for veterinary visits or anything like that, where we're giving the animal a bit more control over the interaction, and that's really how you build their confidence in those settings. So yeah, absolutely, it's kind of like you have to build it up over time. So working on having their paws touched, and then, you know, nail clippers is another thing that they can be a bit afraid of, and there's some lovely videos on cooperative care on the Dogs Trust website. We talk about those guys for behaviour stuff, and also the PDSA and you know, the Blue Cross, all of those organisations have lovely videos on how to teach those cooperative behaviours so that we don't put that dog in that situation where they're just fearful.
Okay, brilliant. Really good advice.
As something extra special on this week's podcast, Denise has given us her own new 105 of the best, listing a quintet of her favourite books she's read over the last wee while. Have you read any of them? Let us know in the comments.
Hi everyone, it's Denise from U105 Breakfast. I was asked to do U105's 5 of the best, so for me, of course, being a bibliophile, it has to be books. So I'm going to start with a book that I'm currently reading. This is Richard Osman and Thursday Murder Club. Yes, the guy that used to do Pointless with Alexander Armstrong. He's a fantastic author. The story is witty. It's about, basically, think about your granny and granddad and their friends getting together once a week to solve a murder, hypothetically. But then in the village where they live, there actually is a murder, and they start helping the police try and solve the case. The characters are fantastic. Love Elizabeth and Joyce, Ibrahim and Ron. Those are the four main characters. And I also love the police as well and how they connect with each other. I still don't know who has committed the murders. I'm almost finished the book, but there's a dodgy priest. There are some strange women as well. But the worst thing is thinking that one of these four, who you really do get invested in, has committed one of the murders. I don't think so. I hope not. It's a great pace. It's witty. It's funny. And Richard Osman, there's no doubt you're going to write many more books, because it's a bestseller. So this is my first book. It's The Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman. So I just could not do a book review without having Stephen King in it. And this is one of his latest novels. It's called Holly. Now, Holly first appeared in Mr. Mercedes. That is the psychopath Brady Hartsfield, who runs down people in a Mercedes, and then there's a chase to find him by Bill Hodges. And Bill Hodges sets up a detective agency called Finders Keepers. That was the follow-up. And Holly is a character that was developed from that. And a lot of Stephen King's fans really wanted to have a book about Holly. The case in this, it's a little bit grisly. I can't go into detail. But there were murders committed over a period of time, and they all tie together. And Holly has the help from Jerome and Barbara, who we first see in Finders Keepers as well. Holly's a complex character. She is dealing with things in her personal life as well. But it's a brilliant book. And if you can get through some of the horror elements of it, I think you really like it. So this is my next recommendation. It's Holly by Stephen King. Stephen King also makes some political statements in it as well, because this was written during the time of COVID. So if you like Stephen King, it's one of his best, I think. This is my next book. Michael Connelly, very famous author, The Fifth Witness. It is part of the Lincoln Lawyer series. Lincoln Lawyer is currently being made into a series on Netflix. Mickey Haller is the main character, and he works out of the back of his car, hence the Lincoln Lawyer. He looks after people who maybe wouldn't have been able to afford his services, and Lisa Trammell is one of them. He stopped the bank from foreclosing on her house, but the CEO of the bank has been found dead, and she's obviously been indicted for murder. So it's all about how he gets Lisa off, because you do really like Lisa as a character as well. I can't tell you too much more about it, because with all Michael Connelly novels, there's always a massive twist. And this has got a good pace as well. Very like The Lincoln Lawyer. Lots of action, lots of red herrings. If you like crime novels, this is for you. Michael Connelly, of course, does the Bosch series as well. So great crime novelist. And you can follow him on Facebook as well. And he is active on social media to keep up to date with all his new books. This is The Fifth Witness, highly recommended by me. So I'm going to stay on the subject of crime for the next book. This is Steve Kavanagh, one of the world's best crime writers. And he's actually from Northern Ireland. He was previously a lawyer, so a lot of his books, very detailed courtroom scenes and a lot of legal jargon as well. Don't let that put you off, because these are pacey. These are exciting. The characters you care about. All of the Eddie Flynn series is great, but this one here, 13, really struck a chord with me, because it's quite grisly in parts as well, and the murderer is completely psychopathic. But to get himself onto a jury and a trial, and the things that he's done to get there, it's just ingenious. I mean, Steve Kavanagh is such a creative mind, and I love all his books. Kill for Me, Kill for You is obviously his latest one out, but I really like 13. So if you're looking one of those unputdownable, what's he going to do next? I can't believe this guy. This is the book for you. And Michael Connelly recommends Steve Kavanagh as well. So well done, Steve. Very proud of you. So this is my final book, and it's not an author you will have heard of. Ashley Elston is actually recommended by Reese Witherspoon's book club. This is First Lie Wins. And there's so many twists in this from the start, because the lead character is actually working under an alias. So it's not Evie, who lives in the suburbs with her lovely boyfriend, Ryan. She's actually escaped from something in the past. And one night at a party, a girl turns up using her real name. So is her past catching up with her? There are so many twists and turns in this book. If you were watching it on television, you would be asking every 5 minutes what's going on. It's worth staying with. It's got a great pace. It's got a good story to it. And I'm so, so glad that somebody I thought might have been the baddie isn't the baddie. But I can't tell you too much else about it. It's definitely worth a read. It's First Lie Wins. It's by Ashley Elston, and it's recommended by Reese Witherspoon and by me. So that's been my five of the best for you, 105. Hope you've enjoyed it.
From literature to lip-smacking cocktails and more, Denise and Morris discussed some unusual drinks and some classic Northern Irish flavours on The Breakfast Show on Wednesday.
In the papers today, a bill banning the next generation from being able to buy cigarettes will be heard in Parliament today. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill would restrict sales to anyone turning 15 this year or later. They will never legally be sold cigarettes. It will effectively raise the age of tobacco sales by 1 year every year. Government figures show smoking costs the UK around $17 billion a year, dwarfing the $10 billion raised through taxing the products. Elsewhere.
Well, I mentioned about the chocktail. So you can guess what this might be. Obviously a cocktail with a chocolate theme, but one in particular, Aldi, have launched a Cadbury's cream egg cocktail, which is called the Ballycastle chocolate cream. And it's basically a melted down. It tastes like
Aldi?
A melted down. Yes.
Our Ballycastle?
We see Ballycastle. There is a Ballycastle in the south, isn't there, as well?
Yes, sir.
So it could be that there, but yeah, unless you go to Ballycastle, and there's some nice drinks up there. But this one sounds really, really sweet. I don't know how sweet you like a drink, but I think anything sweeter than Bailey's would be my maximum, to go for something like Bailey's. But then this is called, yeah, the Ballycastle chocolate cream liqueur. And we've also got a salted caramel liqueur being brought out by Marksies as well. It seems to be a thing, this chocolate, liquid chocolate cocktail.
It's all our, but it's our sweet tooth.
It is. But there's one now. This is on our Instagram. A Tato Martini. Tato, as in
Tato cheese and onion.
Cheese and onion, yes.
Wow.
It's gonna be found in a bar in Mayfair. It's Parmesan washed vodka, homemade onion brine, and blue cheese.
Oh. Well, where's the Tato cheese and onion in there?
It's the taste.
Or
they
just
Tato.
Give you a packet. Madame.
Mars, we are edging ever closer to monkey tennis and arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave.
To what, sorry?
Arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave, or monkey tennis. Remember Alan Partridge suggested those about 30 years ago as TV ideas to the BBC executive, yes? Well, tonight we have on Channel 5...
arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave, followed by monkey wrestling.
Do you know, monkey tennis. Monkey tennis. Do you know what? I've just seen the name of a programme tonight on Channel 5. Do you have the right air fryer? But it is all celebrities talking about their air fryers. We are actually reaching new depths of desperation and TV
people
ideas.
People wonder why terrestrial / old-fashioned normal TV is dying on its hours.
I know, but that's a shocker. And do you know who who's talking about their air fryers? Christopher Biggins, Rusty Lee, and Jenny Powell.
The usual.
It's like
the
early
usual suspects.
80s.
The usual suspects.
It's unbelievable, and it's just, this is a tagline from it. We will answer all air fryer dilemmas, the ones that keep the nation awake at night. Are you kept awake by thinking about your air fryer?
Do you know what they need to do? All they need to do with that is to dress those so-called celebrities up as raspberries or bits of cheesecake,
yeah,
or even an air fryer.
Yes.
Get them to disguise their voice, and you have to guess who the celebrity air fryer is.
That's a good idea for a programme.
There you go.
I think they might have a programme like that.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I can't believe that. Unreal.
Sounds riveting.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Do You Have the Right Air Fryer? Air fryers, do you have the right one?
Is this a one-off or is this a series?
You see, if this goes well, you can have, do you have the right vacuum cleaner? Do you have the right washing machine? We've got an entire genre now.
Oh, when you say that, they're important things.
Yes, Stu Francis will be on next, talking about grape crushing.
Shocking. Maybe we should just give it a chance.
Give the show a chance.
Yeah, celebrity air fryer, whatever it's called.
Yeah, it basically is. Yes, it's air fryer. People, it'd be C-list celebrities talking about their air fryers.
Yeah, why didn't TV executives think of this years ago? And you could have had celebrity chip pan.
Just exactly.
Are you using the right chip pan? And then they can maybe combine it with that other naked program you like.
Every time you bring up Naked Attraction, you say, I like it.
Yeah, you do.
I'm curious about it sometimes.
Naked Attraction chip pan.
Yeah,
keep your bits away from the chip pan.
That's a dangerous one. Oh my goodness.
Oh dear. Here, I'm thinking of getting wee birdies.
What?
I'm thinking of getting wee birdies.
Wee birdies?
Yes, I've been watching lots of videos on YouTube about wee aviaries and birdies. I feed the birds a lot, right?
Yes, you do.
And over the years, I've got more and more sort of into the wee birdies and watching the wee birdies.
Yeah.
And I've seen all these videos where people are building like these big birdie house things.
Yes.
And they have all wee birdies. I'm thinking of getting that, but can you get them here? This makes sense.
You need to go and ask a pet shop.
I know. So I'm just wondering, and how easy are they to keep? And this is the next thing, you see.
Yeah, you get a parrot and you'll get the swearers.
Oh, not a parrot, no. So you were saying things that people miss most when they leave Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so basically you get a call from your friend that's abroad and goes, when you're coming over to visit me, bring this with you.
Is it your sarky attitude and sense of humour?
Exactly. You need that if you go to London. God forgive me. No, I did. I lived and worked in London for about 4 months at one point. So, and they didn't get my sense of humour. And that I said hello to everybody in the tube. Apparently you don't do that. Well, you don't go out and give, what about you? So there you go. There is one thing that is miles ahead.
Is it a small rock from the Giant's Causeway?
Do you know what? That's not on the list.
It's not that,
but that's
okay.
A good one, so it is. Yeah, these are, yeah, they're miles ahead. I picked this up. This is on our U105 Instagram page if you want to have a wee look at it. So there are things that people go, oh, don't forget to put this in your bag when you're coming over to see me.
Is it £20 out of the till?
No.
None of these. Is it a foots? Is it tato cheese and onion? That kind of thing.
It is tato cheese and onion. They're miles ahead. But there's other things in this list that I wasn't absolutely sure what was just Northern Ireland. A nutty crust. I didn't know nutty crust was just, you couldn't get it anywhere else.
Okay.
So that's on the list alongside various other breads.
Sunny bread, titty bread.
Yes. And the wee dark one that you put the cheese on.
Vita,
yeah, Vita's come very high at the top of the list too. Club Orange, is that the only thing over
here?
Oh, yes,
yes, uh-huh.
I didn't realise
Club
that.
Orange, huh?
Club Orange, and Tato again, onion rings, Tato's onion rings.
Oh, surely you can get onion rings other places.
I thought onion rings you get. No, I think they mean that they're some sort of like...
It's crisps.
They're crisps, yes.
Yeah, crisps.
Yeah. Homemade shortbread, that's love. Sabina makes the nicest homemade shortbread.
I'm sure you can get that anywhere. And,
yeah, but you know, it has to be homemade. There's a recipe and there's something different.
Is there a Northern Ireland shortbread, is there?
I think there is. I'll have to give my mum's recipe, yes.
Does it contain tato cheese and onion?
It wouldn't be U105 of the best without Johnny and Linda making the nation chuckle. From furniture deliveries to childhood traumas and so much more. Laugh along with the pair now.
You're listening to U105 Drive with me, Johnny Hero, and Linda's here. Yo!
Hey!
Yo.
Listen, I have loads of stuff to talk about. Are you going to let me talk?
I haven't bought it in yet. I mean, did the way you accuse me of butting in, don't give me a chance to butt in.
I know, but it's just a given. Anyway, I'd like to say hello to Kieran, who is the driver and deliverer for Colin's Beds. He listens to your quiz every single day.
Is that Colin's over...
Andersonstown.
Yes, where the Lake Glen used to be, round about there.
No. Andersonstown. You say you made made directions up wrong.
Oh, I'm thinking of direct furniture. There's going to be furniture wars.
Right, the other thing I wanted to ask you, because do you ever sit in front of the computer or on your phone and these optical illusion things, it'll show you a picture of one thing and it'll say, if you can pick out in 10 seconds the hidden giraffe, you're a genius.
Yes.
Well, you know, I always get that right.
And what do you want? No, that's what's known as clickbait.
Oh, the dirty dogs.
Yes, they just want you to click on it.
I never click on it. I just try and get it out of the wee pictures that they've given me.
But does it not say click like if you got it? No.
Well, I don't delve into anything.
Things are all about.
But I just wanted to know why your eyes can switch from one thing.
It's not a proper thing. They want everybody to get it right. You're not special.
No.
Because they want everybody who sees it to look at it, and it increases their web traffic, and they get money.
I get money.
No, they get money. Right.
I wanted you to tell me what happened to my eyes.
You want me to tell you you're psychic and you've got X-ray vision and all, you know? The only person in the world who saw the giraffe was Linda. We're not putting that one up again.
No.
We've got no traction on that.
So I know there was something you wanted to talk about, but this is something else, so give me time to tell it properly. So I want you to...
Should I go and get a blanket and a pillow now?
Picture the scene. So I was waiting one day at the bus stop, waiting on my mum to come home, right? So this was a couple of years ago.
And was she getting the bus home?
Yes.
Right,
so
okay.
While I was waiting, I'm sitting on a bench and these couple of young lads come up to me and go, "Here, love, look at the hurt in your legs." And it traumatised me for years. I was only four. But the thing that traumatised me thinking back was, how did I have hairy legs at four? And why at four was I waiting on a bus stop?
Are you serious?
Yes.
I think this has been a dream or something. You've gotten mixed up. Trying to say you were 4 years old.
Yes.
And I remember where we lived when you were four. You would have had to cross a main road and all, you know.
No.
And swim a river and fight a bear to get to the bus stop. And you were four and you had hairy legs.
The reason I mention this is talk about changed times. I mean, there's no way you'd let your kid go near a bus stop. But what the heck, where'd the hairy legs come from? I never forgot that.
Right.
I
want to know what kind of fellas are running around here going to yo-ho at a four-year-old. You love. No, you dreamt that.
I did. My mama even remembers me saying, "Dear, fellas said I had hairy legs." So it was just a thought. The things you remember when you were younger.
And today's special guests are those two fellas. Come on in, lads. You never thought you'd see them again.
Oh, really sausage.
There's slamming doors in your head, honestly. All right. So, I was going to say, there was a wee thing on Twitter that I dipped into, and some girl started this, and she says, "Has anybody brought anything stupid home from the pub?" Mm-hmm. And loads of students have been on, they've all come home with traffic cones and traffic signs and things like that, you know. There was one guy says, "I always brought my neighbour a present after a visit to the pub, because he wasn't well and he couldn't go to the pub. So among the things I brought him on the way home was a dartboard, a washing line complete with all the clothing on it, a 7 metre long, 1 metre diameter sewage pipe." Just calling in the way home from the pub. "Billy, yep, here, what do I hang on?" "And I also brought him one of the landlord's shoes." The landlord out of the pub, for some reason, had taken his shoes off, and I swiped one of them. And we never mentioned it again. Next time everybody's in the pub all looking, what's the landlord wearing on his... So I love those kind of things, yeah.
So did you ever...
No, I'll tell you, and what people have referenced. At one stage, the ex-producer's light show was made up of, you know, the wee yellow flashing traffic lights?
Yes.
That have a battery in them. Uh-huh. I'm trying to find a picture of them. Because funny, even, you know, one of those, there's a picture. You know, the wee yellow things?
Yeah.
So loads of people have those in their houses and their flats and all, you know. It's mostly students. Bloody students. So we were actually on TV when the BBC were filming a documentary. Uh-huh. And it was all the flashing lights, but it was all these wee DOE lights and all. It was like, we thought it was like the Pink Floyd Roadshow. Look at us. You know? Noel in New York says there's wiser eating grass. I don't know what he could possibly be referring to there.
No.
Somebody else says, I came home from the Hoover, or from the Hoover, came home from the bar with a Hoover.
The bar's Hoover?
Brought it home on the bus. I don't even know where I got it. Could be the bar's Hoover. You're like, last orders, we're cleaning around you last year. Give us that there. Yeah, I'll give you a hand with that. Give us a hand out to the bus with this Hoover. Anybody else? Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's brilliant.
Hold on. There's one here.
People come home with plants. At Christmas, people would go home with plants, I think. Oh, that's a lovely plant.
Hanging baskets. That's vandalism. This woman here, Robina, says, I woke up in bed one night. I thought I'd suffocated the cat. Then I realised I was in bed, fully dressed, boots and all on, wearing my fur jacket, and I had a fish supper on my head. I don't even eat fish. Well, I did tell you about one night in Killybegs. I woke up in the garden of the B&B with a Chinese on my chest. Lovely fella. Carl Burnett here says, I remember bringing home, and everybody went bananas in the student flat. I brought home a skunk, thinking it was a cat.
Look at that, fine. Oh, lovely wee cat.
And
the skunk's
bolts.
Coming in, the tail starting to go up. No, right. Class.
Fantastic. Right. Listen, there's something else I wanted to... Did you read in the paper, one of the papers today? And I'm not saying it's totally true, but this multimillionaire who calls himself an anti-ager wants to get all people here like-minded onto an island with himself. And he wants everybody to pool resources. This is true. And so that they could all seek therapy.
I'm sorry, can I just interrupt? I wasn't listening. I was reading something else here.
So this anti-ager multimillionaire wants people to go on this island with him. Everybody pool the resources so that they can seek special therapies and blood tests and everything. But the reason I'm telling you this is everybody that goes on the island is not allowed to eat burgers, Chinese food, cake, sweets, drink, because it'll be seen as an act of violence against your body. Do you think you'd be queuing up to get on that?
No.
And you have to give all your money as well.
I was going to say, no, do they pay you £1 million or something?
You have to give all your money towards research for all these things.
Watch me. Mm-hmm. I'd rather...
Don't.
I would rather...
No, no.
I can't say what I would rather put in a mangle, but no. Jane says, I come off the Stena line with an ice bucket and full of ice as well. any ice for the drinks. Give us that there.
I have one for you, because one night, back a couple of years ago, someone told me on the night shift that they stole a bin from another part of the area where they were in. But the thing is, the wife says, you stole a bin is bad enough, but the rubbish was still in it.
Tony Gibson says, me and the son-in-law came home one night with a for sale sign. Somebody's for sale sign in the house, you know, the big pole and all, and the sign and all on it. And we stuck it in our own front garden. Next day, there was people calling the house saying, what's the asking price? He says, I'm standing there with a hangover, not even wise, going, what? There's a sale sign here, you know, apply inquiries within and all on it, you know. mod. Let me see, there's a clutter. Some of these we can't... there's normal theft, people just stealing things, you know. Garden gnomes have gone for their tea. Mm-hmm. Johnny, I once woke up in my flat with a shop dummy. Woke up in a half light in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and was going, who's that?
The shop dummy was standing beside the door.
How'd she get in?
And he says, guy called Ian, he says, it was one of those, you know, sometimes you hang your clothes over the door and in a certain light it looks like a person. Mm-hmm. So I was squinting my eyes and all going, that's not a coat. So when I got up and saw it was a human shape, I was like, I nearly died. Right. Yes. Sorry, I'm just... Philip says, I didn't bring this home, but I woke up one morning and a postman was at the door with a rowing machine for me. And he says, you ordered this.
No, he says, no.
He says it had been a couple of days on the rip and I hadn't a clue where it came from, but I just had to take this rowing machine. I have no interest in rowing. I have no interest in keep fit. Nothing. Shaz says, I was brought home in a shopping trolley from Ard Shopping Centre. And I lost a shoe as well. Maybe that landlord stole it from the pub. Brought home in a shopping trolley. Uh-huh. You know, picture your other half saying, you know, the next morning you're sitting hanging over your breakfast, you know. Well, did you have a few drinks last night? You see your vehicle's in the front hall and you've no shoe.
I had a couple of quiet ones.
They all wanted to go for it and I says, no, take me home now. Alan says, I worked for a company in Belfast selling Hoovers. They took us away for a day to Liverpool and we went to this VIP's house, you know, big business event, you know. I came home on the plane that night after a night at the VIP's house. We all kleptomaniacs with a drink in us and we don't steal anything useful. What do you hear what Alan was on the plane with? The VIP's gardener's left water boot, right? The dog's collar. And the keys to his boat. I had to send them all back.
We are a nation of kleptomaniacs.
That's smart. Right, anyway, when are you ruining your own show?
Oh, right, Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 7 o'clock until 12.
Right, some of these I'm... Oh,
crying.
You could get a book out of some of these that I'm reading here, you know. Anyway, thank you, Linda, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. For more of this kind of thing, listen in on FM, DAB, online, the U105 app and on your smart speaker for Northern Ireland's best mix, U105.